Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Becky. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am a writer and performer out here in Los Angeles, and I also am an avid romance reader, and I have a podcast called Too Stupid to Live, which is a podcast that reviews romance novels $5 and under, and I have all sorts of guests, you know, from performer and writer friends to actual novelists where we'll, you know, do like special episodes where I'll, you know, just discuss their work. So yeah, it's all sorts of fun. It's just wild chaos, you know.
So what led you to start reading some romance? Like, what was your romance journey?
Well, you know, in high school, I always loved, you know, like Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre, and I loved the book Rebecca, which I know those are more like gothic-y. They don't really, there's like, it's sad, you know, but you know, there's, it's love in it. And then, One time, like in my early 20s, I was really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I realized I was flying home for like Thanksgiving or something, and I realized I forgot a book. So I went to, you know, the airport bookstore, and I saw this book, you know, just had a really like non-sexy, very like benign in terms of like heat covers, and it was about like a vampire hunter, and I'm like, great. And so I'm like reading it, and then all of a sudden I'm like, chapter two, I'm like, why are they talking about nipples? Oh my god, I love it. And so then just from there, it was just like I was hooked. So yeah, that was like kind of the start of like reading like romance novels that weren't written 1950 and earlier.
Awesome. So let's chat about some book orange. Let's chat about your podcast first. So tell us about Too Stupid to Live.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I basically, what I do is I, you know, rope a friend or someone who I think is interesting and funny, and, you know, whether they're a new reader or, you know, don't really read that often, or, you know, read romance a lot. I usually am like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? And, you know, is there a specific like subgenre you'd be interested in? And so, you know, they'll let me know, or they'll say anything, and I'll just like, you know, scour Amazon and find a book that seems intriguing to them and intriguing to me. Sometimes I let them choose, or sometimes I'm like, what do you think about this? And they're like, yes. And then we'll just, you know, record an episode, get on the show. I'll get their what they think. And usually, like, especially with new readers and, you know, some of my comedy friends, like those are some of my favorite episodes, because like, they really are like analyzing it. And then also like a lot of them like them, you know? And so like, I have this like odd, this is so narcissistic maybe, but I have this like odd sense of pride of like, yeah, I converted another one.
I feel the same way. I think it's not narcissist. I think it's just like our nature of being a reader and being like, mm-hmm. being a book pusher, like especially podcasting, it's like such a book pushing, like you're an mm-hmm. evangelist of like different books or different genres. You're like, hey, like there's this genre that's making a bunch of money and it's mm-hmm. great. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. And it's like getting people to like, not that I like, you know, the people coming in were judgmental of romance novels, because like I feel like probably wouldn't have invited them on the but you know what I mean, like they just don't know. And so to like kind of they change, like have their expectations like changed, or like mm-hmm. reading something that like, oh, I didn't think romance was like this, or I, you know, was like, whoa, you know, it is kind of cool to like get their feedback and see their experience with it.
I love this. So let's chat about some $5 or less romances.
Okay, cool. So most of these books are from some of my fun episodes, like some of my favorite episodes of the show I've done. And as I was like doing it, I was like, oh, these like are in like really weird categories of like, you know, I'm like, oh, like I was like looking at myself and I'm like, this is stuff I like and it's very weird. So my first category is History Gets Kinky, which is historical romance with like very non-vanilla sex. My first one is, this is probably the kind of maybe vanilla with a bit of spice, but Beauty and the Blacksmith by Tessa Dare. Mm-hmm. Did you read it?
I did.
Oh, that scene where they have sex on the anvil and she's like all oily, like whatever they use on anvils or whatever. Like, I'm like, and she shows everyone in the end. It was like one of my favorite scenes.
Yes. Tessa Dare can do no wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever someone's like, oh, historical romance, is it feminist? Is it blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I'm always like, Tessa Dare is the one to go to. She's always like my first.
She's like a beginner's, you know, historical romance. Like you can try it by her and then you're going to be diving into the rest of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. She's such a great, like, gateway author, even though like she's also a great author for people who have read romance all their lives, but I feel like for like new readers, she's always the one I go to. My next one, oh, by the way, I'm gonna give the prices too. Beauty and the Blacksmith is $2.99 currently. My next one is Her Wanton Wager by Grace Calloway, which is $4.99. And this is the second in a series. The first one I read, it's called, something with Harlot in it. But basically the story revolves, like the series revolves around like a body house or like a brothel that's like super fancy. And so in that, there's like a sexy scene where it's like very voyeuristic, if that's the right word, where, you know, our female hero is watching through like a peephole of people having sex and the guy she's with like comes up to her and they like have like, it's kind of like a dry hump session, but like they're watching other people and I'm just like, oh my God, this is great.
Okay, I need to read this book.
Yeah. I actually like also really like this book because that also felt like so modern. Like I think about it a lot because I'm like, this kind of feels like a story about a couple who like they're having problems in their marriage and they travel back in time and they're forced to like reenact this romance novel to like rekindle their love. So like the character, you know what I mean? Like then I was like, oh, that's a good movie idea. Nah, I'll never write it. But like, you know, it just like felt like that. Like it was funny and, you know, and they felt very real and modern and I just loved it.
I love this.
Cool. Yeah. And then my final History Gets Kinky is What the Parrot Saw, which is $3.99. And basically they have the term is pegging, which I was like reading about it because just who doesn't read about pegging all the time? And like, you know, I know that there's like maybe a negative connotation with that term now, but so they have anal sex with a strap on and so it's great.
And that's rated in a higher C level. I feel like
exactly
any butt stuff gets in a higher C level. You know?
Yeah. And just the fact that like there was no like closet, like there wasn't any reference of like on the male hero's part of any like closeted homophobia he might have. He was just so into it. And it just felt like, I don't know, just like it, there wasn't any like, thought about like how other people like view pegging as like something that's like a, like, you know, a sign of submission on like a straight man's part. Like it was just like, this is a fun sex act, enjoy it, guys.
Yeah. I love this. This is why we read romance, you know.
Exactly.
We can see a world that is a much better place.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, both like in terms of like gender parity, but and you know, like, but also in terms of like sex, you know, of like, you know, so many things that like maybe we go tee hee hee, or like, you know, or just like, you would never do that. But then you see it And then it's like your curiosity is piqued and it's like, oh, here's a healthy relationship of these people doing these things that we think are taboo when they're really, you know, like not.
Yeah, very true. All right. What's the next category?
Okay. The next category is, is height differences in sci-fi. And my title was any size fi doesn't matter. I don't know, that wasn't good, but basically these are, the hero's really giant tall and the female hero is, very short, and I'm a short person. So, my first one is, Operation Cobalt by Susan Hayes, which is $3.99. This guy is huge. Like, it's a great book. One, it's a great book because the female character is 42 years old. Ooh. And she's not treated like a senior citizen, which is amazing. It's just like, she happens to be 42. And it was just like, what I needed at that moment. And, there was like something where like she, like they were like sitting on the ground and it was like, you know, their backs are against the wall and their legs are out and her feet came up to his knees. And it was like, that's the height difference. And I'm like, holy moly, that's a height difference.
Oh my gosh.
And then my next one is Ice Planet Barbarians, which I know everyone's read, but the first one is great, but I just recently listened to Barbarians Prize, which is the fourth or fifth one or the third one. It's later in the series, which I liked a lot more. You know, I thought it was like this, like very, like the idea of it seems like so anti-woman, like with this culture and what the barbarians are trying to do. But Ruby Dixon ends up like really subverting that trope and making it so feminist and, you know, dealing with like trauma and just like really kind of addressing some of like the, maybe some of the darker issues that were, you know, introduced in the earlier books. So I highly recommend it and listening to it because the male reader is amazing. And so the next ones I chose, next category, I was like, okay, contemporary books. But then I realized both of these books take place at a ballet. So these are ballet books if you're into ballet.
Yes, I am.
Nice. Okay. So the first one is Death Dancer, which is by Tara Lane. It's $4.99. And so this is actually like, there's like a murder mystery at a ballet company. And there's the bad boy, like lead ballet dancer who's like, he's so badass tattoos, but he's also like the most graceful specimen of, you know, humans on stage. And he falls in love with like the detective who's like by the books guy who's like, you know, kind of like to himself, he kind of keeps himself maybe a little more, I don't want to say conservative, maybe a little more prudish or whatever. And they fall in love and it's hot. It's very hot. A lot of twists and turns in terms of the mystery, which is fun. And also it's like sexy. And the next book I chose for this category is Finding Center by Catherine Locke, which is $4.99. This is also a duology. So the second book in this series is called Second Position, which is $3.99. I think you can read the first book without reading the second book, but I loved the first book so much. I read the second book and it just really like is such a, the book itself like deals with like some really like tragic and serious issues like miscarriage and alcoholism and mental illness, but you're just rooting for these two to get together. And it's like a very poignant and I want to say like sweet book, even though, and kind of sexy, there's sex in it, but there could have been more, but it's just a nice, like uplifting story about two people just struggling with these things and, you know, working through them together.
Ooh, I love this. Yeah, I think I have the first book in the series. I think I bought it because I was looking for ballet recommendations. So it was like, because it's such a niche market, like ballet romance novels, like, or some romance novels around the ballet world, you know.
Exactly. Do you like ballet movies? Like, have you done ballet? Like,
I love Center Stage.
That's like my favorite movie of all time.
Center Stage is like, I just remember I was a freshman in college or even senior in college when it came out. It was like, it was just like so good.
Oh my God. It was like mind blowing. And I did ballet like up until I was like 14 years old. And like, I have my like, you know, personal experiences with it, but I was just like, this move, the dancing's amazing. And like the acting is also amazing in a weird way. It's New York City. And it's just like, and it's about ballet, which I feel like I have a side podcast that I do with my friend, Diana Wright. We do like an episode every like 6 months and we do it whenever we want, but it's called Bad Turnout, where we would discuss like all sorts of ballet movies. Mm-hmm. And like, it feels like there's this trend of ballet movies being like, we're going to incorporate hip hop dance, which suddenly they're no longer ballet movies, which, you know, it's great. Is that, this isn't any dig against hip hop, because I think it's such a like great, you know, dance form and fun, but it also is like this thing of like, oh, are the people behind this movie being like, are people no longer interested in ballet? And it's like, no, there are so many people, there's ballet books, there's this, like people do want to see ballet.
Yeah, they do. I remember, because I live in New York, a few years later, I moved to New York, and I remember being incorporated within the creative community, a lot of actors, a lot of like performers. And so I remember just going to Broadway dance and like taking ballet classes, just like, because I was like, it was in the movie. Like, I needed to do this.
Oh my God. What is it like? Like, is it like in the movie?
It's like in the movie. It's definitely, I took a beginner's class because I have like no motion, but it's still like pretty cool. Like, you get to see like all these like performers, like going to the act to advanced levels. And like, I used to take a lot of classes in like those performing rooms, like Chelsea Studios and Ripley Greer, which are basically studios where the performers practice their craft, or they would do auditions and do stuff. And so it was really cool to be like, I'm just like in this environment that I'm like, I saw in the movies, and I'm like, I'm taking advantage, even though I have no rhythm, no sense of self. But I was like, I just need to do this. So,
oh my God, of course, I'm so jealous. And it's like so cool that, like, these, like, I want to say, I guess they are iconic in a way that they just like open it up to everyone. You know, it's like, guys, it's not just, you know, these like people who are professional. It's like, come on in, dance. It's just for the love of it, which I love. Yeah,
there's Alvin Alley, which has like a similar vibe. There's like open studios. And so it's glass door, so everyone can see the ballerinas practice, and there's like regular classes. So it's like kind of like you can see everyone practicing, you know, and it's
that's like, so cool.
It's really cool. So, but yeah.
Yeah. You know? That's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Let's talk about the next category.
Okay. This is my final category. It's shifters with jobs, AKA shifters who can have it all. So if you're worried, can you have it all? Can you have a family? Can you have a job? Can you have a person? You can, because shifters can. If someone can shift into another animal and have a job and find love, nothing's impossible. So my first book is Cowboy Dragon by Terry Bullrider, which is $2.99. This book is ridiculous, very sex heavy, but the sex heavy is pretty good. And like, it's honestly a good book, even though like there was like a lot of like inconsistencies in terms of like the balance between plot and does that make sense, the idea that there are dragons in this world and then the amount of sex. But I thought it was a wild ride.
Yay.
And so then my last one was Wolf Instinct by Paige Tyler. Now here's the thing, I looked up the price because, you know, sometimes things change. This is now $5.03.
Oh no.
I know.
But it's still like 3 cents. We can work with this extra 4 cents, you know. I know.
Like,
it's a hit. Like, once you move to $5, like, do I want to borrow? Like, sometimes I'm like, I just go to my library and be like, can you buy this book for me? You know?
Yes.
And some libraries are getting, Brooklyn Library is good about buying independent books and self-published books. So
that's great.
It's a they have like non-resident stuff. So I usually just ask Brooklyn, like, can you just buy this book for me?
That's such a good idea. I should do that to my library, because like, I, you know, also do like Libby, and I love it so much.
Are you are you in LA public library?
Yeah.
LA does buy a lot of independent books too. Oh,
that's That's so good to know. Cause I hate their search. I hate Libby's search engine for some reason. Like, I feel like there's something about it where it's so limited and it's like, I know these books are here, but I can't find them.
Yeah. It's on Libby. Cause I actually borrow someone's library. We share library cards with across the board. And so I was looking, it's either LA or Brooklyn are major purchases of like independent self-published books, and they also do a lot of self-published audiobooks too.
Oh, nice. So, that's great. Yeah. Cause I love audiobooks.
Yeah. So yeah, libraries are for the win.
Yeah.
When the book goes up, you can just ask the library to see if they can buy it.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, when I first started the podcast and I was like telling my parents and I'm like, it's $5 and under, my dad was like, you know, the library's free.
Like, you're like, yeah, but you know.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I know that, but the okay, never mind. So okay, if Wolf Instinct, those three extra cents are too much, which I get. I did recently review Go Fetch by Shelley Laurenston, which is $3.99. That book is a wild ride too. It's kind of like Cowboy Dragon, where it's like so much sex and so much horniness that you're like, oh yeah, there's a plot. But I think with both those books, do you ever feel like when you read like just a high concept shifter book that's like so ridiculous and the authors like kind of in their prose, they acknowledge that it's ridiculous, like there's like a level of commitment to it that you respect. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's great. Like, yeah, these characters are just horny, even though, you know, there's like other shifter danger after them. They just don't let it get in the way of their horniness.
No, they don't. They make the most out of it. They have a good life, you know, at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's fun because it's like, it feels like these books don't, like with Shelley Laurenston, it feels like she just like doesn't, there's something fun about her. Not like, I just feel like the way she writes it, she doesn't take it too seriously. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. I mean it in like, she knows this is fun for us, so she's going to make it fun, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I love this. I love, like, you know, the authors commit to their craft and they're the goal, and you know, when they're I hate when authors are like awkward about sex. I'm like, just don't write it. Like, you can just have a closed door, it's fine. But if you're like, if you're comfortable with it, like there's so much to explore and there's so much you can actually engage and like so much you can get out from a sex scene or multiple sex scenes, or, you know, the relationship can move forward, you know? So it is exciting.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a relationship can move forward, like just as much as like when like a hero rescues another hero from like a burning building, like the relationship moves forward. And then like, that's a plot device. And I think sex can also be that plot device of like, they have sex. Like, it can be just a plot device, you know, like it can be as important as anything else, even, but that just involves like, you know, private parts.
And fine.
Yeah. And it's fine. Yeah.
Awesome. So Becky, tell us where you can find you online.
Yeah. So, my, like personal, Twitter and, Instagram account is Beckles212. And then you can find, TSTL, podcast at tstlpodcast.com, and it's TSTL podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you, Becky, for all these recommendations.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.